Thank you. My name is Josh. I am a compulsive overeater. I am a little bit about myself just to qualify or quantify. My abstinence state is August 22nd of 2021. So I've been in a little over 3 years. Top weight was 407, at least the top weight that I saw. Because the minute I saw 407 on the scale, I mean, it was many years of, 250. Well, I'm not going to hit 275. 275, well, we're not going to break three. All the way up to four. And once I hit four, it's like, I don't really need to get on the scale anymore. You know what I mean? I just, it was unfathomable to me, demoralizing. I was really beaten. So I don't know what my top weight was, but I know that I continued to harm myself with food and eat ridiculously even after I saw the 400 pounds. I come to OA via another fellowship, the Beverage Fellowship. I've been in that fellowship for quite a few years. I was kind of like the speaker talk today, very spiritually arrogant. And thinking that I was living a spiritual life and trying to draw close to God, though I was still in the food and using food to circumvent any relationship, with God. And God used a man in that program, to bring me to you guys. And I suffer from alcoholism. And it kind of goes hands in hand, and it kind of, as I was, I was asked to talk about self-worth, and I started looking into it, and thinking that I know really what self-worth is, but it was really eye-opening for me, and it kind of ties in with my alcoholism. But for me, and it took me many years to see this, my alcoholism, I always thought it was my issue with booze or drugs. And then after I got to this program, I thought alcoholism was my problem with food. How there were certain foods that I disgustingly would eat, and there was nothing I could do to not eat. Like, it was kind of wild. It was weird. I would see people do it regularly. And it's taken me, quite a few years and many times through the process to really, the way I view my alcoholism today is it's a spiritual disease, as we're taught, and it's I would say a mental illness, a spiritual mental illness. It's a disease. It talks to me all the time. It's in my own voice, which kind of throws me. I didn't realize how much it talked to me, and that was one of the biggest gifts coming into OA for me. Was like I said, I had X amount of years off of booze and drugs, and then I come in, and I showed up to lose weight. I was tired of being grossly obese, and I wanted to lose weight, and a lot of my self-worth was attached to, as Audrey just mentioned, like, I thought, well, if I could get down and lose weight and get smaller clothes, then I'll be all right. Like, I've spent my whole life just wanting to be okay. Like, I, for whatever reason, I wake up every morning, still to this day, I wake up every morning and I'm not okay. And I just want to be okay. And that shows up in di many different ways. But this, I got this self-talking disease. It talks to me in my voice. Always talking to me. Even when I put the booze down, it was always talking to me. Food would help me to, put that mind or that voice, that disease at bay briefly. It would help me be like in the moment briefly, present, part of. But then again, the same mind that would tell me, and like I said, I wake up every day, I'm not okay. The same mind that tells me if I get that girl or that job or that car, if I can lose a little bit weight, if I can go from a 5X shirt to a 2X shirt, I'm gonna be okay. I'm always looking outward, like, what's gonna be okay? And it took me many years to realize, like, I'm not okay. And alcoholism for me, like I said, it's in my mind, it's always talking to me. In my voice, it's never good enough. Nothing's ever good enough. It's unsatisfiable. It's fault finding. It's opinionated. Makes me always in a hurry, easily frustrates me. I can't stand the word no, and the world just doesn't treat me right, period. But I'm always looking outward. I'm always looking outward. And even when I get what I want, sometimes I got the girl, sometimes I got the job. It doesn't take any time out of my all for my mind to switch and be like, start talking down to me. You're so stupid. How could you have thought that this was going to fix you? This is really what you need. And it's just that constant battle, and it's exhausting. And for me, it's very painful, and I need relief. And I've slowly, I, you know, sometimes when I give my little pitches, I always tease, if it's got 12 steps attached to it, I probably could use a sponsor. And there's some truth to that. And then the food is the one that was most, it was most wild. It was most hard to wrap my head around. But so that's a little bit about me. But I showed up at AOA begging for help. And then I started having these, going through the process, going through the big book, working on that relationship with God. And I started seeing these things. And one of the things I got to see was that nonstop talking and needing to shut it off with food. And the big thing about self-worth, to me, my self-worth really is attached directly to what I'm willing to put into my program, because my disease will use my self-worth. Like I was saying, that same voice that will say you need this or this or this to be okay is also the same voice that will say, well, listen, if you go ahead and you have that little cupcake, or you eat that pizza, or you eat this, or you eat that, you're going to feel okay. It don't use those words, but that's how my disease works. And then I pick up the food and maybe I'm okay. Maybe it helps me to have that moment of peace in my mind in the present. But right after that, it switches on me and it starts to talk to me in a manner of, you're disgusting, and how could you, and you know better than this, and that's why no one loves you, or they're gonna love you, and you're always gonna be alone. And I was really blown away, like I said, when I was asked to talk about self-worth, because I thought, eh. So I did a little bit of, Googling and talking to fellows and people that are way, way smarter than I am about self-worth. And I started to realize, I found some things out, that I didn't know, but I found to be true in my life. And that is that, even though, self-worth is kind of, it's personal to each and every one of us, our own self-worth, it's also universal, where kind of we all have our self-worth, and it has nothing. I mean, for me, it's the foundation which we build everything on in our lives, like whether it be our personal relationships, our work relationships, our sense of purpose, or it starts shaping how we, and I'll keep it on me. My self-worth starts shaping how I interact with life in general. And a lot of the times, especially with the disease of alcoholism, my self-worth, like I will put that on what I do as for a living, who I am, who I know, what you think of me. Like, I barely know you, but we get to know each other. And if I feel like for whatever reason you don't like me, or you have an opinion about me that's negative, I will personalize that and take that on as my own. And that's not self-worth. My self-worth, there's nothing that is needed to build or to qualify or to make my self-worth, just by being. That's self-worth. I'm exactly who I need to be. I'm exactly how I need to be. And I told you I wake up every day and I just want to be okay. Every day I wake up and I am okay. It's just this mind that I have, this, and I also would say that this disease that wants me to stay sick, this disease that wants me to harm myself with food, that's what shows up every morning. And that's what, uses my self-worth to, attack me. It's kind of like, and then I can't remember if it was a conversation or, a book or whatever. I just, the little avenues that I look to kind of better understand self-worth and kind of kind of prep for coming to hang out with you folks today. But somewhere along the lines, the illustration was given, if you take a $20 bill and you crumble it up and you dump it in mud and you do all these horrendous things to it, you tear it, you rip it. At the end of the day, when you spread it back out, you still have a $20 bill. The value of that piece of paper was never lost with whatever happened. So no matter how high my highs go, my successes or how low, my missteps go, that's not going to change who and what I am. It's not going to change the value of what I have to offer, life in general. And again, I go back to for those like us, and again, I struggle with that sometimes, but keeping it on me, for me, that's something that I have to work on, and I have to be diligent about, and it ties directly into, my spiritual disease. And my relationship with God has been, up and down at best. When I first came around any recovery at all, I would have told you I was atheist. And I would have told you I didn't need, if you're talking about God, I didn't need God. I was okay. I didn't even want to hear about it. And then a few years into recovery, the realization was gifted to me that it wasn't that I didn't believe in God, but I was afraid that there really was a God. And if that was the case for a guy like me, talk about self-worth, for a guy like me, if there was a God, I was hit. Because any entity like that would want nothing to do with a piece of garbage like myself. That's where my self-worth would take me. And that's not the case. It took many years, but I still struggle with that sometimes, and it all correlates with where I'm at in my recovery, where I'm at, practicing the principles in the spiritual principles of action that are listed in the 12 steps. Because if I'm current in all the steps, and like I said, I wake up every day and I have to identify every single day my disease, and the limitations that come with that, the I'm powerless over food and my life's unmanageable, removed from a power greater than myself that can restore me to sanity, a power greater than myself that can really handle all my problems. Because again, I have to remind myself every single day that the food is not my problem. The food was actually legitimately the over-the-counter medication that I used to treat this disease. But if I'm not quick to identify that every single day, I always like to say I'm a slow learner and a fast forgetter. And I will forget rapidly, and I will get into where I'm going through the motions, and I will get to where the drowning out thought is looking for the outward, whether it's the her or the job or the whatever it is that I'm searching for that's going to make me okay, and I will blow directly by what I actually need to be looking into to treat this disease. My disease needs to be treated every day, and every day that I treat my disease, my self-worth is pretty decent. Some days are better than others, and some days I have to put a little bit more emphasis on what I'm trying to do as far as utilizing those spiritual tools. But the one thing, I kind of got derailed there, my bad. But so I've had a struggle with the God thing for, coming in with a low self-worth, and it's been a progress, or it's been a trudge, just like our book says. But I will say, I want to read a little part out of the big book. It's on We Agnostics of 50, on page 55. And it kind of correlates, and now I say my self-worth kind of correlates with my relationship with God, because what I've come to find out about my self-worth is it's for myself and everyone. It's deep down, it's just a part of who I am. It is what it is. It's deep down inside of me. But on and We Agnostics on page 55, a couple paragraphs down, it's pretty much where the book tells me exactly how and where to find this power. But it says, We finally saw that faith in some kind of God was a part of my makeup, just as much as the feeling I have for a friend. Sometimes we had to search fearlessly, but it was there. It was as much a fact as we were. We found that great reality, and that great reality is capitalized, which leads me to believe they're talking about God deep down within side of me. In the last analyst, it's only there that it may be found. It was so with us. And as I found with, for me, the how is, where was it? I have to remind myself. Sometimes we had to search fearlessly. I always have to search fearlessly. Every single day, I have to wake up because some days I wake up and I jump into this. I dive full in. I love being a part of program. I love outreach calls. I love all the tools. I love being of service. And other days I wake up and I'm a little bit off the beam. And I don't know. I think I got about 4 more minutes, but I'm kind of at that spot too where I'm about to really start rambling and grasping at straws. And so I'm going to thank everyone that's involved in putting this together. I greatly appreciate being included, being given the opportunity to be of service. It's been great, and I'm going to pass with that. So thank you.